with the whisper.
He should have been hauled off, I reckon, about 10 balls before that. He actually showed a real lack of intent to actually even try and score.
But no one at Cricket Australia, and even now, their past chairmen are squabbling with current chairmen. It's such a messy situation that I think should have been addressed 3 years ago.
If he just says, this is the situation, I'm resigning from captain, well, let's do the week or 2 weeks of turmoil and then we can move on with the cricket.
I said, oh, Dennis, let's let you know that it's, I think it's time I'm going to pull the pin and retire. He paused for a bit. He looked at me and says, geez, I think you made the right call.
On RSN Central, welcome to the Friday Forum.
Nicholas Quinn, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Gareth.
Looking forward to your NFL tips, especially later on in the morning.
Looking forward to the week of NFL. Big game today and a massive game Monday night in the States. That's Tuesday our time with Buffalo up against New England.
That should be a ripper. New England are just jumping out of the ground of late, aren't they?
They are. They're on a six-game winning streak. They're 5-0 away from home, and they're away here against Buffalo. Buffalo 7-4, New England 8-4, and the winner of that will go a huge way to clinching that division and potentially the number one seed.
Quinny's going to teach us as well how we back a winner in the NFL. And, of course, New Orleans take on Dallas at around 12:20 this afternoon. Scotty Gallen, welcome back to RSN Central's Forum.
Thank you, Gareth. Thank you for your kind words earlier.
Yep, you're a superstar. How'd you go with the cricket there the other day?
Well, I if you missed it, I was outstanding early, but I was sent in by the captain, sacrificial lamb, to be honest, and so he could face a ordinary attack. I faced a Australian Ashes net bowler, Gareth.
Oh, did
you? Guy who, yes, who plays second for Carlton, and I had him under control till I missed one, but... Yeah, there was a few issues, and I've addressed them with management.
There you go. Well, yeah, sometimes that leadership, it's a little bit...
Well, there's a bit of Steve Warish about. Yeah, a little bit of that was going on.
Let's talk about cricket, and we'll kick off proceedings here with Michael Vaughan. It's a big issue now that it's developed over the last 24 hours in Australia's media with Michael Vaughan. He's been stood down by a couple of media outlets in England because he was accused of racism when he was playing cricket for Yorkshire back in 2009. Fox Cricket is sticking by him. He won't be out here for the first test because he has tested positive to COVID. It's interesting to see what's happening in the UK. There's one media organisation that have completely banned him, and the BBC say that they will welcome Michael back down the track, but he won't be commentating on the Ashes series because he is the main man in this controversy at the moment that has been the big talking point in English cricket, Scotty. So the question I ask you, then I'll go to you, Quinny. Are you surprised that Fox Cricket is sticking by Michael Vaughan here, Scotty Garland?
I support their sticking by him. I mean, clearly... they are, and we're all against racist comments. We understand that. It was a long time ago. He has apologised. It was the heat of the battle. Not that that's an excuse. I mean, too many people trotted out that as an excuse.
So did he? I thought he denied those comments, but he's actually said he did make those comments and he's apologised for them.
Well, yeah. I don't think he could recall the comments. I think it was... if that's happened, he's apologised, I think. I just think going back in history a long way, there's a lot of people you could pin certain things on. We're not condoning what he allegedly might have said, and he isn't that person now, I would think. I mean, he's showed in the last 15 years or whatever his commentary, he's very good. So I don't agree with going too far back in history on this sort of thing.
Quinny, your thoughts?
It's not good, and it's just been a shame. On the lead-up to the Ashes, it's just been one thing after another that's just been negative and talking about players doing the wrong thing off the field, and it's certainly a case of not innocent till proven guilty by the looks of it.
Well, Vaughan, Asim Rafiq, who was a Yorkshire cricketer when he was playing alongside Michael Vaughan, said that Vaughan said back in 2019, there's too many of you, like, we need to do something about that, to four Asian players before that match in 2009. And that Michael Vaughan has come out and said he has denied those allegations. So it will be interesting to see how it does play out there, Scotty, but yeah.
But then COVID got him, which is ironic, wasn't it?
Correct, yeah. So they're hoping that he might be out before Christmas, Michael Vaughan, but he's testing positive to COVID at the moment. So he won't be out here for that first test, which starts on Wednesday, which is just around the corner, Quinny.
It is. It's been an interesting lead-up to an Ashes series, really, hasn't it? So
Aussies, good things, like everyone's saying, that England's batting will be tested with our fast bowlers. But when I think about it, Scotty, I think our fast bowlers have had a limited preparation. It hasn't been the ideal lead-up towards an Ashes test series. Most of them, in fact, all of the, our star bowlers played in the UAE in the T20 World Cup. They've had no real Red Bull cricket for quite some time now. And they've got to bowl the English out a couple of times to win a test match. And they couldn't do that against India, especially at the Gabba last season.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because, I mean, England played a lot more test cricket than us in the last 12 months, but their prep, they've hardly got out of their hotel. So then you sort of look at that and go, oh, that's the negative. But then on the Aussie side, like you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Mitchell Starc. You know, Di Richardson should probably get a game. So for once there's pressure, I don't think Stark's an automatic, but you're right. I mean, they've been in white ball mode. But, I mean, I don't like Nathan Lyon, your man, coming out and saying we're going to do a whitewash. What was he thinking?
He's no Glenn McGrath, unfortunately, Nathan Lyon. He's our greatest ever off-spinner, but he's no Glenn McGrath.
But that's just stupid. I mean, why fire any ammunition? No one, you don't need to predict. It's the oldest trick, it's the worst trap in the book, doing that, falling for a, oh, we're going to win 5-0. I mean, if I'm just a Langer, I'm going, mate, we can think that internally, but let's just start playing.
Come on, Scotty. Well, what did you say when Glenn McGrath used to say that?
You go, well, maybe he's got more of a chance of making it happen. I don't think, any predictions by players is fraught with danger.
Scotty, has our man Shane Warne got a problem with Mitchell Starc? Because he just seems to find a negative with him at every opportunity, and I just don't know why.
Well, it's from, a couple of years ago when he was at his peak and everyone was like, ooh, but it seemed to get a bit personal. I don't know. Did he? There's certainly, he's the one that's always in Warnie's gun without fail. And even when he does well, Quinny, you're right. There's a little, oh, yeah, he got it right today, but oh, what about tomorrow sort of thoughts about it.
Yeah, Shane Warne to me is a little bit inconsistent with his commentary. Sometimes I really enjoy his insights into the game. And then other times you just think he has got too many agendas and he does get carried away. We mentioned this on Wednesday with Junior Waugh. And, I think the perfect example that I can think about, say, last season, Josh Phillippe, who I love, his old man's a bookmaker in WA. He's a great racing man.
And Do you owe him?
Hey?
Do you owe him?
Not quite, no. he had a horse called, I think he's in the syndicate there of It's a Ray Day that Mitch Marsh is involved. Anyway, I'm getting off track here. But what I'm saying is that Phillippe was smashing them all around the park there in last year's T20 competition when he was playing for the Sixers. Then all of a sudden, Warnie says, I should be playing in the test side. He's hardly got a game for WA. So he thinks a little bit differently, Warnie. And I enjoy his commentary, but sometimes he is a little bit, he's a little inconsistent.
Yeah, he's the personality-based selection or the... Yeah, oh, he's a good bloke and he has a crack. He's one of my sort of men. He's in, whereas Starc isn't sort of that sort of demographic for Warnie, and he's had him in the gut.
What about the Tasmanian Premier? Now, I thought this was done and dusted, that Tassie wouldn't be hosting that fifth Ashes test in Hobart. But Peter Gutwin, this was reported by Brett Stubbs, who does a wonderful job for the big Hobart paper there in Tassie, or the big Tassie paper, and he says that Tasmania Premier Peter Gutwin is challenging Cricket Australia to create history and reward his state with an Ashes test for the first time. His call comes as Hobart firms to steal the fifth Ashes test from the MCG in what would be one of the great David over Goliath victories. Now, Quinny, if you were betting on this, they were $1.40 when Timmy Payne was still in the calculations to play this test series. Then they drifted to $10, and now they might be back into favouritism if you read the back page of Scotty's paper.
Yeah, I don't know if they're ever $1.40. I just think it's going to come down to dollars and cents. I think the fact that they've lost that test match that would have been prime time, all that TV revenue, and I think maybe the only way to get it back would be to have a day-night test, irrespective of where that will be. I think that will work in Melbourne's favour. Having said that, I would love to see a Tassie test because I just think time and time again they're neglected from a sporting point of view. It's great they got the Tassie Jack Jumpers up and running now and they deserve a test. They'd pack it out. And could you imagine being there if that fifth test is live and the crowd that will be there and the atmosphere as well would be absolutely superb. But Scotty, it does just seem like it's now trending towards an MCG test, doesn't it?
And hopefully they do a day nighter, Quinny.
Well, they have to, I think. They have
to. Yeah, they have to, don't they? You make it a TV event, because you're right. I mean, if Nathan Lyon's on the money and it's 4-0, I mean, while we still love beating up on the Poms, that does take a little bit of away from it. I mean, I think if, I'd like it to see to go to Tasmania. They deserve it. Pack it out. The government probably have to fork out some cash to make up the lost revenue, but if you want the event there, you know, which will generate so much tourism, you fork out a bit of cash for it.
I can't work it out. Like, if when I was growing up, each city got their chance to host the Test match. Like, Tassie, you're part of our state cricket our national cricket competition. They're in the Big Bash. They're one of the best state sides going around in both the longer version and the 50-day game. So why should they be neglected nearly every year not to have a test? There's still young kids like the Ricky Ponnings of the world, the Tim Paynes, the Matty Wades of the world that still dream to be playing for Australia one day. And to do that, those kids should get an opportunity to go and watch their national side play in a test match.
And I worry what the MCG will look like if we've just had a test and it's a dead rubber and the weather might not be great. Hopefully it's hot, but it might not be. It's Melbourne. There's no guarantee. It wouldn't be great on the optics if there was sort of 25,000 there days 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And does it clash with the tennis? What's the date?
It's at the start of the tennis. It's only 3 or 4 days of the tennis that the cricket would overlap with the tennis.
Could that work in its favour, though, a little bit?
Yeah, it'd be a great party.
Oh, it'd be out of control, the precinct. But, yeah, it'd be fun.
All right, lads, we need to take a quick break. It's 10:46. We'll come back with plenty more. Now, Matty Nevitt, our producer's fired up. He says that Ash Barty should have won the Don, which was the big award announced there last night. Of course, Patrick Mills won it. I've got no problems with Patty Mills winning it. I don't know if Matty's actually read what the Don is about. because if you read the blurb about... Don, he might be changing his mind, but he's coming in for his sports update pretty shortly. The man that he calls himself the Hornet will be joining us straight after this. It's 10:46. You'll hear Gareth Hall, Nicholas Quinn, Scotty Gallen here on RSN Central. 49, some news just breaking. The Victoria Jockeys Association have just sent out this statement, and it reads, "It is with great sadness that the Victorian Jockeys Association can confirm the family have advised that the police have found the body of Chris Caserta. Rest in peace, Chris." The racing industry is in mourning today after losing one of their favourites in Chris Caserta, who unfortunately and so sadly lost his life a couple of nights ago now, Quinny. So we're thinking about everybody in the racing family that knew Chris, and especially the Caserta family at this time, Quinny.
Just absolutely devastating. Yep. And yeah, it's... no words to describe how hard that's going to be on everyone involved in a true tragedy.
And watching the tributes to him, he was such a fun and loving and energetic character. And everybody that had a relationship with him, reading the tributes, he always put a smile on their face. So he will be missed. Now, we're going to have a chat about this Don Award here, Scotty Gallen, because I'll just read the criteria for the Don Award. The Don Award was introduced by the Sport Australia Hall of Fame in 1998 and is awarded annually by the Sport Australia Hall of Fame Selection Committee to honour a current Australian athlete or team who, by their achievements and example in the last 12 months, have inspired the nation. Now, the winner there last night was Patty Mills. First of all, Scotty, who would you voted for the Don Award this year?
Yeah, no, the Hornets off here. Yeah. Paddy Mills, single-handedly led that team. Australian basketball, created history, Olympic Games, won a medal, scored a gazillion points. Mm-hmm. He's gone to Brooklyn. He's done the same. He's just become this... he should be Prime Minister. That's sort of... he's in that territory now. Absolute god and leader.
I'll put a couple of names to you that I thought should have been or probably were in the calculation for this award. Ariana Titmus, the girl from Tasmania, I thought she ignited the Australian Olympic campaign in Tokyo when she defeated Ledecky in that sterling 400-metre freestyle final, where she had to, as Basil pointed out, to become a legend, you have to beat a legend. And she did just that, Quinny.
Yeah, and she would be my vote, but I'm not taking anyone.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, no, I would have voted for Ariana Titmus, yeah.
Yep.
But isn't it more than just results? I mean, Ariana was amazing, and you're right, ignited a nation. But Patty Mills leadership. I mean, he had a little bit more going than just performance. I think that's where he gets the nod.
All the uncertainty around the Olympics, though, and I think the fact that it started with such a bang, Titmus got it going and just gave Australians something to be very excited about. Remember, that was during the pandemic as well. A lot of people were in lockdown, and I think Titmus was great for the national morale. Well, so she got my nod, but I'm not going to pot anyone. I'm certainly not going to say Mills didn't deserve to win it or Barty wouldn't have deserved to win it.
It would have been a really difficult job in an Olympic year, but it does read, and I think this is important with the criteria, by their achievements, an example in the last 12 months that have most inspired the nation, and the way that Paddy Mills handled himself off the court, talking about the boomer mentality and what it means to play for this country, that's why he got the award. And plus, he was sensational in that bronze medal game. So I give, I think they've got it right.
I reckon they've got it right.
Yeah.
Tick, tick for me. 100%.
The one thing I do find frustrating with these awards is just celebrate the winner. Now, I could make a case that I would have voted for Titmus, but I'm not going to be critical of Mills winning it. But we see it with everything, the All-Australian Awards. All of a sudden, everyone's just complaining about all the players that didn't get in.
Not really, Quinny.
It happens all the time.
But that's sport. That's why we love sport. That's why you love sport, because you debate about your team's better than the other team. I love Paddy Mills. I love Titmus. But you can say, well, gee, she was stiff, Titmus, not to defeat.
Yeah, to a point. But no, Titmus should have won it, rah, rah, rah. Or Barty should have won it, rah, 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 instead of just celebrating who did win it. With the All-Australian team, that's all that came out in the days that followed. People whinging and ranting and raving about who didn't win it.
You can talk. You watch ESPN and you want to be like the Stephen A. Smith, and that's all they
do. No, I'm going the opposite way to that. I'm going the exact opposite way.
Well, the other thing that I found a little bit unusual, I think it's great, Michelle Payne won an award. I think it was called the Moment Award for her moment back in 2015, winning the Melbourne Football Club. I found it a little bit strange that it was awarded in 2021. But it's Sorry, Scott. She only just got it. So it must be like an award that's only presented every decade.
But she's been so busy doing Media Street for the 6 years that followed. This was the first time she had an opportunity to go and accept it.
Yep, 100%.
In her diary, they thought, all right, now we'll announce it. It's beautiful.
I wonder, this would be a good debate to have. In the last 20 years, who has been our Don Award?
Well, I mean, if you leave Kathy out, you start at 01 onward, because I think she's a layup from... Oh, now you've got me.
Well, he said last 20 years, and it's funny, you instantly think of Kathy, and then it pricks that was more than 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Throw me names. Give me sports.
Ash Barty, Jason Day, Michelle Payne, Jeff Horn, Sally Pearson, Cadell
Adam
Evans.
Adam Scott won a major.
Shane
Ricky Ponting for me. Love the punter.
Why is he getting it? For making runs and leading.
See, he's not necessarily our best athlete it's all about the moment. So Michelle won it back in 2015. Hey, Quinny, we've got a few SMSs coming through. Lauren Jackson and Amirs.
Yep.
Their
tick,
votes
tick.
For winning the Don, if we could choose a Don winner over the last 20 years. But let's try and talk about backing a couple of winners in the sport this week. Are you interested in the NBL?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And it's just been so great to see the sport really kick over the last 15, 20 years, because it looked in all sorts of trouble. You think after the Soccer World Cup, around the mid-2000 mark, how the A-League and soccer in this country was just going absolutely gangbusters and the NBL was totally cast, and how one's gone, thankfully, in the right direction, but unfortunately, the other one's gone the other way. That's another topic for another day.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's all on the back of one boat. Larry Kesselman saved that sport.
Yeah.
Some extraordinary job.
And the A-League needs someone to do something similar.
Oh.
So the A-League are in it. They're in a lot of trouble at the moment, because if I went to a pub and told them, like, who is the A-League on at the moment, no one would have a clue.
No.
I don't think you can go to a sporting bar and watch the A-League these days.
Well, now it's off Foxtel, so it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
On Channel 10. There's one game a weekend, apparently. Yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah. So we won't even bother giving some tips for the A-League, but
no.
The Jack Jumpers, I'm all over them tonight.
What a name.
Yeah.
Are they going to win?
Yeah, I think so. $2.25 against the Bullets at $1.65. You know, I remember the day that Adelaide played Hawthorne in their first ever match in the AFL. Scotty, remember that at Football Park?
Yeah.
And the Hawks were the reigning premiers, weren't they, at the time?
Yeah, the news team's always a moral to win.
Yeah, 100%. It's one of the greatest. It's one of. Oh, it's like backing the outsider in a small field.
Yeah, it just happens every time. $2.20. Love that.
I haven't been this confident since Tigalong Tonk in that match race at Warrnambool. So $2.25 for Tassie.
Now, hey. I'm going to my bank account now.
Yeah, Brisbane $1.65. The other game is Perth. They should be defeating Adelaide at home at $1.38. But yeah. What about those poor old sports administrators these days, especially in the A-League and definitely in the NBL and the cricket with the Big Bash, with what's happening with these borders, especially the WA sides? Like,
no sympathy for the Western Australians.
Yeah, I think, Scotty, we've lost you. We lost you.
Oh, no. Question. No, you got me back. I'm back.
Yep. I'm just saying it's going to be a nightmare trying to work out how you get these seasons, or you complete them, first of all.
Well, I mean, all West Australian teams are going to, they're just going to come and live over here for, you know, significant patches. That's just life. I mean, they're going to play their games at the start of the season, like in the AFLW. There'll be a few little derbies and whatnot. You know, Brisbane can get there and Adelaide, but then you're going to have to come over here. And so for the AFL, imagine how the Eagles and Dockers are going to take that sort of, if it's still like that in April, May.
Yep.
Won't be like Western Australians to complain about something, would it, Scotty?
So, do you like any of the NBL sides in our sports multi that we'll lock in for our forum?
Before we talk about that question, why have Southeast Melbourne Phoenix been so well backed for the title, and why is Melbourne United so soft in the betting?
Well, it's my Chinese man, my 7'10" man.
Yep. I'm looking forward to watching him play, actually.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Well, Golding's missing. That's only a couple. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good call, but it's going to be a very even season.
It is. I think there's a lot of luck with the NBL.
You need
good rosters, don't you, Mikey Vallisaris, our basketball expert? But you also need a little bit of luck down there. Like if, for instance, the Perth Wildcats would have won if Bryce Cotton, he stayed healthy there last year.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
But every year he's healthy.
He goes down. So I can't believe the Perth Wildcats are the bet for me again.
That's because you've got your Western Australian hat.
Not really, because they've got the best import to ever have played in the... I think he's the best import that the NBL's ever seen now, Scotty Gallen, Bryce Cotton.
I think he's getting real close to that territory.
Yep.
Aren't we trying to naturalise him? Is he coming over to us?
I think he is naturalised now.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So that's the other aspect about the Wildcats. So he is naturalised. That means they can have three imports. So, yeah.
Come on.
I say get on. Hey, what about Bathurst 1000? Now, it's one, like the V8s, I don't follow on a regular basis, but I don't miss Bathurst. I think it's one of the great sporting spectacles in this that this country has to offer.
Great television viewing, Gareth.
Unbelievable. And I think sports, and I was having a chat to Ryan Phelan. I was going down to Bathurst the other day to do the coverage for the Inter-Dominion with him on Sky Racing, and he's done a couple of Bathurst, and he made a really good point. It's reality TV with sport at its very best, and he believes the access they get is because they're all sponsored. Like, they have to look after their personal sponsors.
Yeah.
And they all want to be, any interview that comes their way, they want to be, they won't say no, because it's a chance for them to showcase their sponsorship. And then I love the drama when they go inside of the pits. They've just broken down, or they've had a crash, and they want to belt their competitors just next door to them, or the drama when one of the teams doesn't want to go into the pits because he's got 11 laps to go. He's in front. If he goes in, he knows he can't win, but he's got about 10 laps of petrol left. He takes the punt to see if he can get through. Like, it's TV at its very best, reality TV for mine. So I love Bathurst. I agree with you, Scotty, because the way it's televised as well, and because of how the athletes are so available to tell their stories.
I reckon a good bet is Jamie Wincup. He's the greatest of all time. This is his last time as an individual driver. He's going to be doing a bit more later on. Fairy tale. I mean, that ticks all the boxes. He wins this. He'd probably be a good price, Quinny.
He is $5.
Okay.
Equals second.
Van Gisbergen, five favourite.
No, Tander and Gisbergen at $4. Wincup and Lowndes at $5.
Wincup and Lowndes.
Yeah. What about the...
What about another tick for the sport?
Yeah.
Is Jack Perkins. He is absolutely superb. When he came on RSN the other day, and I know nothing about it, by the end I couldn't stopped listening and then wanted to hear him talk more about it. He just breaks it down so well. And to have a sport that has got a really strong niche and loyal market, but not dissimilar to horse racing, you've probably got to explain it to novices who get involved for the first time. He did such a good job with that.
My other lock this week is the Sixers defeating the Stars, listening to David Hussey this morning on the Breakfast
Can't
Club.
Have a lock in the Big Bash.
Yeah, there.
Let's gutsy punting.
Sixers $1.80, Melbourne Stars at $2. Are you looking forward to the Big Bash? It's snuck up on us a little bit.
Yeah, I'm a little Big Bash fatigued.
Yeah.
Has I like started. When it gets going. I like the routine that it's on every night. It means summer's here. I don't mind at the start. I do grow the fatigue as it goes on.
It goes for but way too long.
But they're trying to shorten it. I mean, at least they're going to try and finish it in school holidays. So that's one
start.
Tick. I think it'll get us in, and then maybe, you know, we'd want to find a couple of heroes quickly because there's not a lot of biggish names in this. I think we'll watch it to start with for sure.
Question, Scotty, who won last year's Big Bash Grand Final?
That's a very good. I think it was one of the Sydney teams.
Sixers.
The pink ones?
Yeah.
Yes.
100%. We declare them here on RSN Central. that's why we know who won. New Orleans 3. Tan take on Dallas at $1.37. Quinny, what are we doing here?
Oh, it's an interesting game. Dallas 7-4, but they have lost two in a row. New Orleans 5-6. Both teams have got problems. Dallas has been decimated by COVID. Even their coach, Mike McCarthy's got not going to be there today. Dan Quinn, the former Atlanta coach and now the defensive coach, will coach the Cowboys today. Well, for New Orleans, their third starting quarterback this season, Taysom Hill's going to make the start. He went 3-1 last season. He's 31 years old, but he's such a unique player. He's not really a quarterback. He's a bit of a jack of all trades who will fill that role today. So it's a fascinating game. I think there are better betting games than that one on today, but very intrigued because Dallas, they look brilliant the first 5 weeks of the season. I'm not going to say the wheels have fallen off, but starting to look a little bit shaky, Scott.
I'd be betting on the line. It'd be a high-scoring affair under the roof there. Dallas, when they're good, score, but they can also leak. So I reckon it'd be a high-scoring affair, Quinny.
46.5, the money has been for the unders. The flip side to that is that New Orleans has really struggled to score. Kamara's under an injury cloud, might not play again today. And Hill, if he does take the quarter, he will be the quarterback, I think it'll be a lot of dinky dime plays, sort of short yardage, run the clock down. So that would be the negative, but you're spot on. We saw Dallas last week in that absolute shootout with the Raiders. Plenty of points scored there. So
what is going on with the NFL, Quinny? Everybody tells me it's inconsistent. Sides at $1.20, $1.10 are getting beat on a regular basis.
That's why we love it. It's just any team can beat any team. It's just such a great sport.
Except and
it's got the best fantasy sports competition in the world, and that's what helps make it so popular. Anyone that plays the NFL fantasy, you're like, this is amazing. It's so easy to get involved. It's so easy to understand, and you can play it for 20 years or it's your first time, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. And it's got lengths on the super coach where every team's got basically 9 out of 10 players the same.
We need some racing tips as well. Nick, the way that there's a few SMSs coming through, Nick, the way that the 76ers are going, they are certainly shooting themselves in the foot so much for needing Ben Simmons.
So the point being, they do or don't need Ben?
They're going ordinary, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they do need Ben.
Oh, they do need Ben. Well, they've got to do something because they just can't waste another Embiid season while he's at the peak of his powers. But they will do something. It's only the first week in December. We've still got plenty of time to the trade deadline. What they don't want to do is panic and trade Simmons for under market value. But a few whispers that they've had the horrible breakup and now they might be just back on the texts.
Oh, cuddling.
Followed by a drink, followed by a dinner, followed by let's give this relationship another crack.
Do you know what I love? I love Doc Rivers. I've been a big fan since his Celtic days when Pierce was shooting those 3 points in LeBron's face. But, you know, Doc, I don't... Like Philadelphia, they complain about Ben not getting the job done. Doc's never been able to get the job done apart from one season. He's been on the verge. He's been around the mark, but he hasn't been able to get his side to win a championship. And in Philadelphia, the fans are contradicting themselves. So, like, support Doc, I see. But if you're going to have a crack at Ben Simmons, then why are Philadelphia supporting a coach that hasn't really been able to... This is a little bit harsh on Doc, and I love Doc.
He's only been there one season.
I know, but he's
been... had the best record in the league.
Hey, what about his time at the Clippers?
Yeah.
Well, that's my point, Quinny. He has the best home and away record, but on the big stage, he can't get Ben Simmons to take that shot. And then he goes and blames him after the match and hangs him out to dry, throws him under the bus.
It's not Doc's fault that Ben Simmons refused to shoot in the last four games of a series.
I know, but he's the coach. We'll take him off, yeah, Mikey. He could. He had Kawhi on his side and couldn't win a title. Anyway, are the Ravens the best team in the AFC or is it the Bills, Quinny?
That's a very good question. I think it's the Bills. I think it's the Bills still. Yeah.
A lot of Lauren Jackson, a couple of votes. Anna Mears, a couple of votes. We're talking about who would be winning the Don if we went back the last 20 years at the start of 2000 or 2001. So there's a few votes coming in for some sensational athletes here.
The Watchdog's texted in. The Watchdog that does the test for the Greyhounds to say Tim Cahill. Thought the Watchdog would be suggesting a Greyhound.
Please don't disrespect the A-League. We didn't mean to disrespect. I enjoy the A-League when I can watch it. But I think it's just, like, you look in the Herald Sun, all right, today.
Well, they're not covering it because they don't have the affiliation with Foxtel anymore. So now it's with a rival competitor. The Herald Sun's going to cover it less and less.
So the Herald Sun doesn't even cover it. Oh, there we go. It's got a page 82. So it's the last 82 of the Herald Sun.
Now, we're not disrespecting
it. It's even after the racing results.
We're saying it needs help,
100%.
Though. It needs help. Want it to succeed.
What about the Matildas?
No, they were solid.
Yeah, boys, I love the F1, but the V8 supercars are pox.
Oh.
Well, there you go. You blokes are wrong. Would it be the first time?
Anything else added or just that?
Yep. Port Adelaide, Fremantle, Gold Coast all lost their first matches in the AFL.
Oh, was that the Fremantle
Not all
one?
New teams win their first. That's from Brett. That's a good point.
Yeah, but we're always going to be rubbish. We knew that. That's an unfair.
Still not into the Big Bash. Bring back the State v State T20 comp. That's from Mikey from Bendigo.
I like it, Mikey.
Yep. That ship is sailed.
Yeah.
I like it,
It's like State of Origin football.
No, but that meant something to the state.
Yeah. Hey, we've got to go to Cranbourne, then we'll come back and get your racing tips, lads, for the Gareth Hall, Scotty Gallen, Nicholas Quinn with you for the Friday Forum here on RSN Central. A few more SMSs before we get the lads. They've done their form for us here. Regarding the racing over the weekend. Let's be honest, the A-League is pox. There you go. Herald Sun did not even print the form guide for the Interdom at Bathurst. I get more enjoyment watching the Worm, I don't know, the Year 9 election debate.
You've done a
match,
Stuart. You start reading the text, and then you realise you can't read that text out.
That's a very good point. I trust our listeners to make sure that they send a text message in that I can actually read out. Hey, Scotty, do you like anything for the races over the weekend?
I reckon Packingham Cup is an interesting field, Gareth. I think there's a couple of roughies. Papalino, Barrier 1, Archie Alexander, 20-1, and good idea for Philip Stokes, 20-1 as well. I'd be having a little play on those two.
I like the push from Philip Stokes with Michael Felgate this morning, saying he thinks that he'll be running in the top three. The good idea.
Oh. Well, he's had a trial since, ran well back at the Flemington Carnival home track, ticks a lot of boxes.
Yep. Quinny?
I do like one at Pakenham tomorrow. Not the 20-1 that Scotty's giving out, but hopefully will be a winning price. Race 8, number 1, Yulong January. First up tomorrow, should simply get an easy lead in front and be very hard to catch. $2.60 looks my banker at Pakenham tomorrow.
What do you think the Quinella will play to Group 1 Kingston Town Classic with Regal Power and Western Empire?
$2.20.
Well, it's one of the greatest Quinellas of all time.
How far will they beat third?
Six lengths.
Six or seven
lengths, maybe even more. They will absolutely destroy those.
So Quinella 220, exact at 250. Would be my guess.
Okay. Well, probably the exact is the better way because
I'd rather take the Quinella.
Oh, just to be safe.
Yeah.
There's a horse in the Inter Dominion, a trotter. He's an old boy. That's the Brosnan family have done a wonderful job with him, and Freddie Cruz owns him. His name's Mari Law. And he's $4.20. I think he'll win the final. And he's $4.20 to win his heat on Sunday. I recommend that you have something on him right now. That's on Sunday night, Scotty.
Oh, like this. I'm writing it down.
Yeah. And I'll text through. We'll get Dino's Friday fill up as well.
I need that. I need something.
The SMSs start flowing in. Gareth, we don't care about your tips. What's Dino's Friday fill up? And they make a really good point, Scotty. Where is the Hornet? He's about to come in for his sports update, I think. He's ready to go. It's 14 minutes past 11. A big